We are turning the microphone. Whoops, there was some background talking. We're turning the microphone on and we are turning our positive energy up. We were just chatting. Some people are feeling kind of low today, but no, we have such a good show. Forget about what's happening in the world. We have an amazing Aging Well Together show today. Oh, I am so thrilled to have our returning guest expert back on the show. We have Elizabeth Hirsch, the founder and owner of the Downsizers, plus the Consigners and Estate Liquidation. Elizabeth is here for her third time. She is such a popular guest. Third time on the Aging Well Together show. We just cannot get enough of her expertise on the topic of helping seniors and really all of us when it comes to decluttering and downsizing and moving. And we just cannot get enough of her tips and tricks for helping folks do the dreaded downsizing, whether it's for moves or just to have, we were just talking, to free up the energy literally and figuratively in your space. We're going to get into that. I'm so excited for all we are going to learn and share today. And like I said last time, we'll talk about our previous shows. This is going to be part show and part Heather's therapy because I live this problem.
You do not have clutter, do you, Heather?
Oh, yes.
Don't admit it.
We learned last time I'm a warehouser. Elizabeth, yeah. So, all right, well, I'll just say it now. Listeners, you have got to go back to episode 71 was the second time Elizabeth was here. She had her whole show. The very first time she was part of a panel, she was guest on episode number 7 when we were talking generally about downsizing and decluttering, but also hoarding. And we had a series of experts on the show. So many people that, Alicia, you got booted. We didn't have enough microphones at the old studio. Mm-hmm. But 71, I listened to it yesterday. It was all about the psychology of letting go. And listeners, it's so good. As always, I chat too much, but it's a great program. Go on our website. I'll give you the numbers, the letters in a second. So today we're going to do a deeper dive into tips and tricks and just so much love. First of all, though, we do need to give love out to our WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carbro for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show every Thursday from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM, or you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org. I hope the person has, two people have gotten on now. I know we are being streamed and listened to in Boston, sister Beth and my niece Rachel. Beth. When I told them the topic, you know, many of our topics are a little deep. Yeah. And they're like, but this topic, she's like, oh, I want to hear more about downsizing. And so there listening through WCOMFM.org. Hi, Bethy. Hi, Rachel. Hey. It's a great show for you guys to be listening in. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the always amazing team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being our wonderful sponsors, they are expert guests on our show. And each week, Marilyn over at the Orange County Department on Aging posts all of our recordings, aka our podcasts.
I tell everybody that.
I know, we're so cool. And now we have radio show and a podcast.
771.
I know, right. 71, the episode, you mean?
That's what I'm going to be pushing.
Yeah, episode is so good. This episode, by the way, this is episode 90.
Ta-da.
It's a good show. So anyway, Marilyn posts our shows. You can find the Aging Well Together show. You can also find a range of local Orange County, North Carolina aging resources. So what you want to do is go to the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging, orangecountync.gov/aging. I always make a big deal that you have to put the NC or you are going to learn about resources in Orange County, California. So orangecountync.gov/aging. If you have any questions about local resources, you can also call the Orange County Department on Aging at 919-968-2070. And if you have questions about our shows or want to suggest a topic or a person or an organization, please feel free to email me. We are deep into 2026 booking. And I know, right? And my email is agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. A quick shout out to the Carbro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quintet. I have to change my notes. It always says quartet, but they added a fifth person. The Robert Bradford Quintet, they are a local, fabulous, just Americana, jazz, all kinds of instrumental and singing band here in Carrboro. They let us use their great original music for our opening. You'll hear a lot more from it at the end of our show. My fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, is back with us. She needs a bit of a pick-me-up.
It's because I have clutter.
You have clutter. We got to declutter your life right now. You're in a place.
Right.
I can't wait to motivate you today.
Thank you. And
the irony here, and as I always do, honey, put the microphone closer to you.
You can do it. You can do it.
You wouldn't think that Alicia comes after me. She has afternoon talk with Alicia, and she, out of everyone, stays the farthest away from a microphone. What are you doing? Alicia needs some motivating today, even though she is generally on the motivating side. She's an amazing wellness instructor, gets everybody up and moving, except for me. I'm very sedentary, but she gets everyone up and moving. She's just an amazing volunteer in all kinds of community organizations. I do hide from her. And then we have another guest with us. We have Connie Kohler with us.
Connie,
hi.
Where's the clap for Connie?
Connie is a brand new volunteer with WCOM. We're going to give her a hand here.
Yay. I'm so excited.
And you can put the microphone close to you. Hi, Connie.
Hello.
Welcome to the Aging Well Together show.
Well, thank you. I've heard a lot of nice things about it.
Connie was just here. The show before us was the State of the Station. And so she was on that show with our station leader, Jacques Minache. And I walked in. I said, we have such a great show about decluttering and downsizing. And Connie's like, I want in on that. So she's like, can I just listen in? But you don't just listen in. We put a microphone in front of you here.
We're part of the community.
Well, I'll talk if you ask me to, but I'll try to be quiet.
And feel free to jump in with any questions. First, I'll do a shout out for myself. I'm Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 54 for one more week, and then I turn my 55. I'm super excited, but I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together, and I am so invested. Elizabeth knows I just filled this show up with my issues and my stories because this topic touches me personally. I know I'm a warehouser, and I am the keeper of lots of stuff.
Did you give her that last time?
Yeah, because she was talking about the 8 issues of the different types of. Yeah, maybe we'll go into that.
Warehouser?
I'm a warehouser. I hold things in my house that may be needed for my daughters, that may be needed. Beth is listening. You know, when family members moved or passed away, I sort of was like, I'll take it. And so I'm holding it either if I use it myself, great. But really, I'm holding
forever?
It like, well, the girls might need it when they get their own apartments. Rachel, if you're listening, if you need a set of dishes, you know, I'm just warehousing. They do want it. They do. She's whispering me, nobody wants it. All right. Well, I am so thrilled. And I also talk with older adults all the time in my work. And I heard it again 2 days ago. I heard it last week. When people are considering a move, the number one thing I hear is, what am I going to do with 40 years of stuff?
Well, and also I'll add to that, that's one of the number one reasons people do not move.
That's exactly. I cannot
they
even think about moving.
They can't wrap their heads
amazing.
Around it. They
I've
don't know if it's even
way.
Possible. Mm-hmm. So then the default is I can't move, even if that's the best thing for them, mm-hmm. because of not being able to overcome that
thought.
Challenge and threshold.
Yeah. And the issue that I keep seeing are people, they put off a move because it is just too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then a move to an independent living community, that option starts to shrink away because they might be frailing physically or frailing cognitively. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we're moving instead of from a 2,500 square foot house to a 1,200. Now we're looking at to a 400
right.
or 300 square foot room. So it gets even more complicated. All right. You've already heard a little bit of her voice, but I'm turning it over to Elizabeth Hirsch.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell us about you.
I did.
Just a little bit.
Well, no, we're talking about Elizabeth now. She is the founder and it's enough with me, really.
Okay.
Founder and owner of the Downsizers, the Consigners, or as I lovingly call it, the Consignors.
It's a tough one.
It is a really the Consigners. They have an online estate auction house, and they have a focused division on estate liquidation. I'm just so excited to have her on part three. Again, go back to a general overview episode 7, Psychology of Letting Go, episode 71. Today, we're going to focus on tips for all of us as we get started or continue on our journey of downsizing. Welcome back, Elizabeth.
Aww,
just wait. Here we go.
I want one of those just personally at home to get, yeah. You know.
Well,
$9. Well, it's probably gone up a little bit. Maybe $10 on Amazon. You too can get it. Before we unpack your work, I used that pun last time, but bum. Before we unpack some specific stories and tips, I know you're back here, but for listeners who, goodness forbid, this is their first time listening to our show, do a quick reminder about what is the, we've kind of hinted at it, but what is the Downsizers and Consigners and estate liquidation? Just give an overview.
So the Downsizers Group is an organization based here out of we serve the Triangle, but we're based out of Chapel Hill, and we have about 35 team members currently, soon to be 40 by the end of the year. And we have an organization really focused in on transitioning older adults and their families. So sometimes we're transitioning the actual older adult into whatever home they're moving into and whatever type of downsizing situation. That could be a smaller home, smaller single family home. That could be a move to a independent community, into a 2-bedroom plus den apartment. It could be a move to assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, or we could be working with family members through the loss of a loved one. And then this estate liquidation process, which, you know, is very challenging. All of those scenarios are challenging. But, you know, when you're working with a loss of a loved one and also looking at the largest asset potentially of their home and having to clear it for sale and go through every memory potentially in a lifetime all at once, it is a huge physical, mental, emotional hurdle to get over. So all of us at the Downsizers understand not only the psychology of what is entailed at every one of these steps, there's also joy through these steps as well. I don't want to leave that out. There's a lot of joy through going through memories a second and third time, and then, you know, being able to release them when it's appropriate. But then also the logistics of all of these fun things and who, you know, the 30 companies that might be involved in one project, which that is an example of what we do. We manage all of that. So we go through our process, plan, sort, pack, settle through the move. And then we have this estate liquidation component, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about. And then as part of the process, it is a matter of letting go of a lot of items. Sometimes thousands of items in one home, sometimes hundreds of thousands of items in one home. So where do they all go? You know, can they be resold? Should they go to a nonprofit? Which nonprofit should they go to? If they're resold, what type of value? Is it a global market? Is it a local market? Is it online? Is it in person? Is it sterling silver? And how is that assessed, right? So we are the aggregators of all that information.
I love that.
And then we work with, of course, kind of the last line of that logistical resource line would be discards, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just the last life of an item, and then we need to determine.
We talked about it last time.
I can't.
I just have such a hard time. Last time you told me to throw out the suitcase that I was getting into it with my husband the night before. I think we did. Oh. And I was like, but it could be duct taped and still, I mean, not by me, but I'm like, let's donate it out because someone could duct tape it. And you talked beautifully about nobody wants your crap because then Goodwill needs to throw it out because they're not going to duct tape it. Yeah. And so we had this whole, Alicia's looking at me. Go on.
So you haven't.
You got to throw it out.
Met with her officially off.
Yeah,
I'm doing good though. I'm doing okay, but go on. But yes, then the dreaded throwing
sisters,
out.
Yeah, help sisters.
So while sustainability and recycling is a huge part of what we do every day, huge. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of resource providers go into this. We also don't believe in kicking the can down the road. So sometimes we just have to call it because it's good. That is also good for the environment. Less gas, less people touching things, less storage, less, you know, less of everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the item. It's everything that goes into managing that item. And as we were talking, that is occurring in your home today. You are managing many items and what goes into that. So I don't know if you guys want to go into that now or later.
Well, no, that's wonderful. Okay. And this whole show is going to be a show of tangents. So after last week's show, irony, so 2 minutes away from here, like literally, maybe it's three, IGP, it's 3 minutes away, is the Community Works, the thrift store. And I have been going through things. And after last week's show, so it was on my way home, I passed by Community Works and I dropped off two big bags of clothes that are still in good
condition. Give me that clapper. Give me that clapper.
I know, right? Right. It was, So I'm trying to do mini trips rather than tons because it's on my route. And a big bag of clothes that are still in good condition, but don't fit us anymore. My daughter doesn't want. I'm not wanting. But the other big bag was of perfectly fine a Wii machine. Remember that?
Yes.
Like not Xbox, but Wii and all of these Wii discs, like games.
That is so
because
cool.
I'm
proud of you.
Yeah. Something happened and like we stopped using it and it's
technology.
Been 10 years.
Right.
And I'm like, what are we doing? And
that
this
is so nice.
So I, well, and so that was two big bags. So I'm doing the mini clutter, the micro cluttering.
Sure.
Is that a word?
Micro decluttering.
Do you call it?
Micro decluttering. Yeah, because I macro clutter and I
micro declutter.
So she is listening.
You're listening.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever increments work, right? So how did that make you feel when you dropped those bags off?
It felt great because not only was it cluttering up drawers, but then I put them in bags and they were cluttering up my room for 2 weeks. These two big bags that needed to go out. And I said, I'm just going to put them in my car because there are three different donation spots depending on my route. Am I in Chatham? That's the PTA. Am I closer towards Chapel Hill North or Durham? There's two Goodwill. Or am I right here at the studio? So I literally thought through where are the different donation sites and I have been thinking through, and is this something they could actually resell or am I moving along trash? So I've been listening. Okay. So I'll stop telling my stories, but
I'm just proud of her.
I want to turn it over to Elizabeth. And what we did last time is we had a series of questions, but we couldn't get past psychology of letting go because that was the whole show. So here are some questions we were going to dive into last time. And then even in the prep, the 5 minutes before we went on air, we thought of some other ones. I know you've completed, a few months ago, it was 4,500 downsizing moves. It's got to be closer to 5,000 given me the wave. 5,000 downsizing moves and estate liquidations in your more than 7 years of existence as the downsizers and the others. What are your top three or more tips for our audience who are considering a significant downsize from a home to a senior community or to a smaller space? So what are some of the first things they should consider?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we find is that if the topic of downsizing and a move and a potential imminent move is in the circle, right? It's in the discussion of the family. That is likely to happen sooner than we think. Mm-hmm. So we may be thinking 3 to 5 years, and it may end up in reality be 1 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that may have to do with economics. That may have to, like, the market is great. We need to sell the home while the market is great. It could have to do with physical, cognitive, decline or challenges. It may have to do with the family has the resources to help at a specific time and may not at another time. And it also, and this is the big one, the community that we've been on the list for calls, right?
With
a spot.
That's the
big one.
It's time.
So, and then they have to make a really big decision of what they thought they had, you know, years to consider. They have to make a decision within maybe a few weeks.
Right.
And you know, it's go time at that point. So the very first tip is start early because that timeline shrinks.
You said start early. That's not easy, right, Heather?
It's not easy, which is why then there's the other mentality of just be doing it all along. But
start early. Can you dance with that a little?
So micro decluttering is a great way to kind of lean into that. Instead of thinking of it as I'm going to stop or I'm going to start this process in 2026 when I get that call from the community, right? Then just start now. If it is in your vicinity of this is going to happen, when I say just start, I would say this is the second tip. They go hand in hand. Start small. Mm-hmm. So most people think of, I'm going to be downsizing, I'm doing everything at once. Well, that's not even possible. You have to do it in segments, right? So most people... And join me if this is what you're doing at home.
But you know I'm going to jump in.
So we call it the flittering effect.
Ooh, flittering. And
flittering effect. So I'm just going to give you an example of that. Okay, I wake up and I got lots of energy. I got my cup of coffee and I'm going to go into the kitchen and oh my goodness, my pantry's a mess. Let me declutter my pantry. And I'm decluttering my pantry and I'm throwing out the expired food and I'm recategorizing and I'm getting rid of old stuff and oh boy, this is looking good. But, oh, gosh, you know what? My office, my files are a mess. I've got stacks. So I'm going to leave that pantry. I'm going to go over to my office.
Well, this is just ADHD right now.
Right.
Yeah, but go on.
This is me. This is everyone. This is the general population.
You start.
Because we constantly have something else on our mind. And maybe it's of equal importance or more importance. But it's very hard for anyone going through this process to start and finish something.
Right.
So if you start early, right, number one, start with a small project. Start with a linen closet, right? I got too many towels. I have 400 towels in my linen closets, right? So I've got too many towels.
Why do we do that?
They're still good, but they're not good enough. And then the guests, and then there was a sale at Macy's, and so then we bought more at Marshall's. And then so we put the other ones, and then maybe the kids will want it, but they don't want it because they don't want purple. This is my life. I want blue.
What is a perfect?
Well, it's different for everyone.
Did you say what is a perfect?
What is a perfect towel?
Is a perfect towel?
Yes.
Why do we have so much stuff?
That's a whole other show. But that doesn't matter, really. We only need so many towels.
How many? What's good?
What's a reasonable amount of towels? That's a good question. I would say in a single family home, 8 to 12 towels. Is a reasonable amount of towels.
To me, it's a factor. Here's an algorithm. How many people do you have living in your home and how many bathrooms do you have?
So this would be per bathroom.
Yeah.
Per bathroom.
8 to 12 towels
per bathroom.
And then
you get into a single family home.
Liz, the hand towel and the body towel and the washcloth and...
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And again, what's the room theme? You know, when my girls went off to college, my women, I went through a phase, which I'm still in, I want it all white.
Yeah.
So I do all white, and my husband has, so we tried this for a while, a color technique. So I'm the only one that stuck with it, because to me, it was part of like when you go to a spa and it's really relaxing and they give you white towels. So I made this decision about 10, 15 years ago. And so I want to make my home a serenity. I want, at least for myself, white towels. Plus, you know, I'm wearing like deep red lipstick and I get it on the towels and then you can bleach it. So I have white, but my husband has like this gray bluish. And yeah, anyway, go on.
So let me circle back around.
Otherwise, the whole show is going to be about towels.
That's not really the point I'm trying to make. So it is a starting small allows you to start and finish something. If somebody tells me I'm gonna do my whole garage today,
that would be a good idea.
No, you're not. You're not, because it's not realistic. So it's just like it's fitness goals, wellness goals. I wanna you know get in shape for
good.
A wedding.
Really
is
good.
It right? You're
yeah.
You're essentially
it's
taking that same
analogy.
Measurable
so to A to Z.
Yeah, measurable goals, and you apply it to decluttering your home.
And I will say, I'm jumping in because the issue for me has been a 5 minute to 15 minute, mm-hmm. my attention span and the way that I'm going to be
and
focusing on
away.
It. So I pick projects that I can do unless I have more, but 5 to 15 minutes. So because the real quick, that Wii story, why was I somehow this drawer that I never go into mm-hmm. that has the Wii? It's because my daughter, Sydney, who's not listening, she's in Colorado, is trying to save money and like, let's not do streaming services. And mm-hmm. they have a DVD. So she's like, can you look through our DVDs and tell us what do we own? And so I'm going to bring her some DVDs next week when I go to Colorado, we have she likes Ratatouille and mm-hmm. kid stuff, even though she's 24, mm-hmm. she loves those things. And then as I opened the drawer, I saw these DVDs of the Wii games mm-hmm. and these other things. And I said, you know what? That's why. So it's kind of like you open up the pantry, something,
right.
and you see it. And so I said, I'm only going to do that. So I opened up the drawer, looked through, and said, anything in these two drawers that I know now, because we haven't opened these drawers mm-hmm. for 10 years, you know, let's get rid of it, and did a quick text to the girls, you know, what do you want me to keep? Do you want me to keep the VHS tapes of Bambi and Snow White? The answer is still kind of yes. And they might be worth something someday, as they're feeling. But Elizabeth is shaking her head no. Okay, I am in a... So anyway, that's how it started, is I say, can I do it in 5 to 15 minutes? Do it. That's my new thing.
And
take it in
away.
A bag and then put the bag in my car.
Yeah, and be done.
Yeah.
So you're saying
so
that
just like exercising, you walk for 15 minutes before you run a marathon.
You threw that at me. You caught me on it. But
she talked her love language.
I can't go in my garage and say I'm cleaning it.
Right. It would be.
It doesn't work.
It would be like saying I'm going to go to a bodybuilding competition after I have not worked out for 5 years. Right. So it's too big of a swing.
Okay.
It's too big of a swing. And what I tell people is this whole process of decluttering your junk drawer or decluttering a linen closet and saying I've got 8 to 12 clean, you know, good shape towels that are usable, you know, whatever that towel mm-hmm. looks like, you know, that is a usable format, and sheets, right? Two to three sets of sheets per bed. These are things that are tangible, and then you can start and complete them. Another one would be one set of files, right? Not a four-drawer file cabinet. Mm. One set of files.
I do it sometimes, but then I'm like, those are at least organized and the drawers are shut. That's where I go back and forth. Should I clean the mess of pile on the floor or what's in a file?
So I'm saying instead of tackling all the files.
Oh, just do it one drawer at a time.
I'm going to do all the files.
Like me?
One drawer or even one set of files, like one category at a time. So if it's utilities, do utilities. If it's medical, do medical.
And be done with
it. So one segment at a time, because the fluttering effect, what it does is we start a bunch of things. Sometimes we transfer from room to room, the bags, right? And they never end up anywhere.
No.
So all we're doing at the end of the day is moving things around or never finishing anything. And that's
piles
defeating.
And piles and
it's
piles,
super
yeah.
defeating, because then we're like, well, darn, if I can't even finish a drawer, mm-hmm. then how am I going to downsize mm-hmm. this whole
And now my house is a mess because
right.
I've got
And that's when the adult beverage center comes in.
Can I ask a question,
sure.
maybe? Because I'm definitely going through all this personally right now. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the small project grows.
Oh, sure.
And
right.
I was doing photographs.
Mm. Oh, that's a dangerous one.
That's a hard one.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not what I would consider a small
stop?
Project.
The emotionality
stop?
Of
yeah.
one
stop
picture
with
alone.
Person?
I would say, 15 minutes is it's a fantastic rule. I'm not sure if that's as realistic for a lot of people.
I'm super caffeinated a lot of the time.
So I would say something that could be you can start and finish within 2 hours. That would be a good rule.
Hmm.
Start a photography, anything related to memories and photography. Mm-hmm. If I do it for someone else, I'm like, right? Because I have no right, emotional right, attachment. Right. But for you, you're like, oh, that trip to Spain.
I can't even clean off my iPhone pictures. Like, the same picture, but that one, this person's smiling in this way, and this one, the other one's smiling, and I just can't delete
it's
either
it's
of them.
A rabbit
it's
hole.
A tough one.
Yeah, so I would never recommend photos as a start and finish. So a linen
the first
closet.
Thing. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, no. So I was saying, so keep going, but the start small, and I am now constantly thinking of linen closet. And, you know, at one point we had twin beds, but then we moved, and now every bedroom I think has a double or a queen. Right. So now I've got all these twin sheets, but I warehouse them because now my girls are back in dorms and they need the twin. So I don't want to throw out the twin, like just the whole
they
issue.
They don't want that color.
Right. And then, you know, do you have to pay to ship it to them? And then would it cost less for them to go buy new sheets versus shipping it?
That is another thing. So we just, we pilot into, we went to visit the one in Virginia and we were like, tell us now because we're not sending it. So we piled up the car because we were going anyway, but mostly it was to bring her stuff.
Yeah.
And that was the decision.
Yep.
Is it worth driving 2.5 hours to drop off something that's $20? Right. Or so we did a whole bunch all at once.
Yeah.
And my Colorado trip, but that I'm going on a plane. And so that's a decision. Mm-hmm. What do we bring?
Yeah, the cost or the cost benefit is what I always say. It's a cost benefit. And we do that a lot with folks. Of the cost of shipping is pretty astronomical. So does it make sense to hold on to something that is you could buy it 4 times over by the time you ship it?
Right? Exactly.
So these are all parts, but starting early is really
starting
that's the
early.
First one.
I put starting small, but starting early.
If it's in your brain, start now because it'll likely happen sooner than you think. And then second, start small projects. If you're going to schedule it, just like an appointment, start it and finish it within that designated time frame. Maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's 3 hours. You know, you have to kind of know your own stamina as it relates to that and what's realistic. Or maybe you have, you know, several appointments for that one project that you put into your schedule. But it's so similar to working out. Any other type of goal you're trying to achieve is there needs to be an established metric associated with it, or else it just gets overrun by something else in life.
I can't. The issue is, and I'll try to do it like on Sundays or something, but for me, just like doing the laundry and folding it and putting away, like that's key to my decluttering. So I'm like, I can't even attack, but I can. So that's why I try to do the 15 minute, like last Sunday. All right, my goals are number one, to fold my laundry and put it away. You know, I do the wash takes 40 minutes, the dryer takes 50 minutes, and then folding and putting away takes 5 to 7 business days, you know, like I'm that mentality. So just doing that, and then I'm going to organize this like craft area. Mm-hmm. So I have these two things, but just keeping up with life is hard enough.
And you have to...
When she said the photos, what about sending the photos off?
Yeah, there's
and
lots
having
of folks,
them do that.
Yeah, there's lots of places to outsource photo digitization to. That's kind of an episode all in of itself.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm making notes of episode.
That is very much a rabbit hole, and there's lots of ways to handle it.
We're going to call it the rabbit. Number 4 will be the rabbit
hole. The rabbit hole.
Okay.
It's a lot, because if you look at a single family home, average square 3,000 square feet in the triangle. You're talking about once you collect photos, photo albums, memorabilia, such as documents, diplomas, awards, you know, anything that hangs on a wall, or loose photos, right? The loose photo bins. Mm-hmm. You're talking about an average of 10 to 18 bins once you accumulate it all. And that's what we either have to move with the client if it hasn't been dealt with, or, which of course there's very little room for on the other side, or it needs to be dealt with one way or the other. And there's lots of ways to do that. So that's why I say it's a whole other episode.
It's a whole other show. And my dad has been given tremendous amount of awards and, you know, some of these are like big plaques. Mm-hmm. So he's done with them. So somehow he was able to let them go, but now I have the bins because I'm like, oh, I'll take it out. But this is where you're going to need to do some therapy. So now I have the bins, and some of the awards I keep because I might want to keep one or two. I think it's nice. But here's where I go. Here's the rabbit hole for me, which is the material that it's made of, the plaques and the acrylic and the crystal bowls. Exactly. Some of them are engraved.
Right.
I don't want to throw out because my daughter's an engineer and really crafty. And I keep thinking we can repurpose this. Mm-hmm. We can take. So do we fill up a landfill? And we started talking about it last time. Like, what is, like, this was a cool piece of, like, it doesn't need, we don't need to use it anymore as an award, but there's mm-hmm. something here of, it's like a woodworking thing. Mm-hmm. And that's
like
where,
a buffet.
I don't want to throw
like
it out because we, but then now I've got two bins of just basically raw material.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
So she's like, let it go.
No.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to send Elizabeth a picture and she's going to go, goodbye.
Yeah. So that's where we get stuck and we spend a lot of time.
It's the rabbit hole show.
But there is, you know, there is an alternative if that's really getting you stuck. There are organizations, right? Like art type of centers, right? Art centers. Mm-hmm. And also like the scrap exchange that take a lot of scrap material. Mm-hmm. So if you're really stuck just on, I need to use this, I need it to go somewhere other than the landfill. And that is a lot of reasons. Now that's not what I'm going to advise everyone to do, because then those places will get filled up. And guess what they're going to do with it? They're going to send it to the landfill, right? So, but if they are good materials, and I don't know what types of materials we're talking about, but if they're good materials that can be repurposed, there are many places mm-hmm. that we can use these materials. But also keep in mind that if everyone does this, then they will also be sending it to the landfill because there's not enough space for all of it.
And that's, right? Yeah. I hadn't thought, I know that when they have like awards, like people that have won a lot of athletic awards, mm-hmm. there are places where you can donate it and then they get repurposed or they just get given out. Mm-hmm. And so like my daughters did Taekwondo years ago and they had gotten a bunch of donated other people's awards and then they gave them out. So it's like, here's a trophy for you. So you can sort of reuse trophies. Mm. Okay. All right. So wait, going back, start early, start small.
Mm. And finish.
And finish. Ooh, finish. Right. That's a whole
start,
other.
Start okay. small and finish whatever.
Make
project.
Sure it's finishable.
Yes. It has a completion date and, you know, whatever that metric is. Clean drawer. Clean linen closet with an appropriate amount of things in it where it's not all stuck, you know, the stuffing effect, right? Mm. Or on the floor or up to the ceiling. It's like you can't pull it out without it all coming on you. Mm-hmm. Then we know it's too much, right? So it should be able to be pulled in and pulled out of, you know, reasonably. So those are the big ones. The next one is, where are you going? What's your plan, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
That might be... I would like to downsize to a senior community into mm-hmm. independent living. I think a 2-bedroom is reasonable mm-hmm. to move into. So I am moving from my 3,000 square foot home with my 2-car garage, mm-hmm. my unfinished basement, and my shed, mm-hmm. and also my workshop that is off of kind of the side of my house.
Yes.
So 3,000 square feet turns into 5,200 square feet because all of that unfinished space, guess what, has items in it.
Because I was waiting for you to say 1,000 square feet, but you're like, no, because there's
more.
A bed and there's a refrigerator. And there's
all sorts of stuff.
So you really, at the end of the day, have 50,000 to 200,000 square feet. Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, so when we think square footage, we have to think finish and unfinished because...
There's
almost
a couch
everyone.
There. There's a television there.
Yeah, there's boxes and bins with thousands of items in those spaces typically, or, you know, 30 pieces of workshop equipment that need to find a home, right?
Mm-hmm.
A shed with, you know, over 100 pieces of lawn.
And Christmas decorations.
And holiday.
This
right?
was a big issue for a family I toured last week. We want to bring the Christmas decorations. And so some communities have storage areas like, hey, you also get a 3x3 or a 3x5. And this was the big issue. Can she bring her Christmas decorations or we were with her son or could... So... Yes, go on. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, go on.
Yeah. So in order to know, it's like going on a trip. If I just say, I'm going on a trip, I don't know if I'm going on a trip and I need ski clothes or I have a bathing suit or jungle gear, you know, to keep the bugs out. I don't know. I don't know what to what my tools are for that trip.
And am I doing carry-on or am I saving, like, next week? I really want to do carry-on. I don't
take all that.
I'm little. I don't want to have to schlep a big suitcase. Plus, I don't want to have to pay the extra money. And so that impacts. Okay, so love the idea of where are you going?
So where are you going? What is your plan? Right. So how much space do you have? And what we always, what we're always thinking about is how much. So yes, in a two bedroom apartment, you might have 1,200 square feet. Right. That's the actual floor that you have to work with, the square footage. So we look at it as square footage as real estate, meaning how many bookshelves do we have? How much surface area do we have to place items on? If you have a collection of 5,000 books and we're only taking two bookcases, I know that we can probably only take 160 books, 80 books per bookcase. So a 5,000 collection is not reasonable, right? So that we have to do some planning of, if I want to take all of my crystal, my Waterford crystal, that's really important because my my grandmother given it to me and I want it displayed, but we're not taking the hutch because there's no surface area for it. There's no square footage for it. What is it going to go into? So we're thinking about surface area where we call it real estate. What's our real estate that we have to use? You know, a table, a bookshelf, a hutch with shelving in it, a built-in potentially. Maybe there's a built-in in this apartment. Wonderful. Let's use that real
estate.
Yeah,
let's use it.
And then we get into storage. Does that dresser have usable storage? Does that hutch have usable storage? Can we put a dresser in the closet on the wall that doesn't have hanging space? Can we fit a utilitarian storage, three-drawer storage cabinet in between the and the sink so that we can put in supplies in between because there's not a lot of storage in that bathroom? So, you know, so these are things that we're constantly thinking. So we need to know what the plan.
You maximize space, but what is the space that
you're... What is the space? Because how do we make decisions on that 3,000 square foot plus the 2,000 unfinished square feet? How do we make decisions on that if we don't know what we're doing? And so, yes, you can declutter and you can make great progress on all of those, what we call top layer, the easy decisions,
right?
I'm gonna get rid of the Wii because we don't use the Wii anymore and all the Wii accessories. That's top layer. Not using it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need 14 bins of holiday because really all I put up is the one tree with my favorite ornaments.
And the lights are broken anyway. Yeah. So we have broken stuff.
So let's go through the top layer all the while, right? As early as possible and start decluttering the paper, the things that we're not using right away. And then as we get closer, we need to know what do we think we're heading to? Because that's when the real magic happens, because we can start making educated decisions on what is going and why. And that's important to the client, because otherwise we're making kind of these frivolous decisions just based upon what's in front of us versus where is it going? Where is it going to be housed, right? And so in that second bedroom closet, instead of using it for seasonal clothes, which is really maybe how we should be using it so that we have, you know, maximizing storage, we have the 14 bins of loose photos that never got dealt with, right? So, and I go, well, we need to deal with this because we need this closet for the seasonal clothing or maybe the two bins of holiday that we downsized to.
And making those decisions, another couple family I was with last week, funny, another mother and adult child, and going to a place where three meals a day are going to be provided, like wonderful meals. And so all the pots and pans and serving platters, and she is thinking, like, am I still going to do Sunday dinner where I have all 10 family over, but they'll probably eat in the dining room? So again, even thinking, what do you need at the new place? Just popping through. And because the cabinet she didn't feel would hold her serving platters, like they were really kind of small, narrow cabinets. And the son's like, but why do you need the serving platter there, you're not going to be serving big. And it's like,
So that's another one of our considerations, our tips, is consider your lifestyle.
Is that the next one?
That's the next one. So are you going to be entertaining, right? Are you going to be cooking? Are you, you have a very large craft room with multiple closets of crafts.
I do.
But guess what? At your community, you have an entire craft workshop. Let's get the supplies to them so that you don't have to store all of those supplies, right? Or let's go and donate to Scrap Exchange in Durham, and share some of these supplies or potentially even sell them at auction. Because if you all are crafters, you'll know this stuff is expensive.
I just got three more boxes today for my new crafts. All right. So let's... quickly put the boxes away, and I quickly organized them because I was scared of my husband being like, have you done? So I did quickly,
Wait a minute, Heather.
We'll talk about
three things. And
I brought five things in. They're really good, and you'll like the crafts, and you'll get them for holidays. No. You're going to enjoy it. It's a good craft. I taught myself how to use a sewing machine. We've got things to talk about. But I did quickly organize it. So wait, we got to go through because I want to finish our tips. It's super important, but I do want to talk. We really wanted to also get into the ultimate form of downsizing after someone passes away. And in the interest of time, I'm going to try to shut up so we get there. So our tips. So we just did consider your lifestyle.
Yeah. So consider the lifestyle. So if you're a crafter and you have access to a craft room for the community, or maybe even a community area if you're not in a community and you donate to that, community room, whether it's a community center, YMCA, that type of thing, let's reuse these things. And also ask yourself, am I really still crafting? So maybe I was a painter, maybe I was a sculptor, and maybe I was a quilter at one point in time, and I had all the supplies to go with all three methodologies. But now, because of my dexterity or maybe my eyesight, I'm only sculpting. So asking yourself, is this really what I used to be, or is it what I am today? And this is just the self-awareness.
To ask my girls. Yesterday, found, because I was looking for some craft supplies, found a huge thing of clay. Both of my girls went through a little bit of a pottery, and I'm like, do you put water? Can this even be used anymore? Yeah. And are they even interested in ceramics? What are we doing with all these? Or just throw it out, because I don't know if it's dried out. But this issue is, what am I still doing? But when you live with other people, what is your partner still doing? What are the kids still doing? Are we still doing this? Because if not...
So sometimes we have to ask, are we holding on to things based upon what we think we may be one day or who we are? It's warehousing for who we may be one day. Sometimes it's I buy things thinking, somebody might buy things because I want to be a painter one day.
I do that because I'm an aspirational crafter. I do some crafts, and then I buy other things because they get given to me I got a huge bin of jewelry making supplies because my girls were into it for a little bit, and then a friend's relative died and just probably $200-$300 worth of supplies. And she's like, do you want it? And I was like, of course. And my girls have looked into it, and it's not some of the supplies. It's not the type of jewelry they make now, but it's we're going to have to learn this because now we have all those supplies. So aspirational. Go on. For me. Who are we now? Who do we want to be?
Is it who I was, or is it maybe who I want to be or who I think I should be versus who am I today? And that's really all we need is who am I today? Because we may only have room for who I am today. And that's just a conversation that we need to have with ourselves or with our partners or significant others or maybe friends, family members. And just really think about, when I go into that two-bedroom apartment, maybe my current space is flowing and energetic and bright. I'm looking at these beautiful windows in this space, and I want that space to feel similar. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not similar. You're talking about 3,000 mm-hmm. square feet to 1,200 square feet, but I want yes. it to feel similar. Now, if we try to move what's in 3,000 square feet into 1,200 square feet, it is not going to feel
similar.
It's too much.
My uncle did that, and it's not good. Yeah. I went into his home, and he moved everything out of that into that, and it's too much.
And then it's trip hazards, and
it's too much.
There's I have passed in our old house. We tried to do like a gallery wall where you put a bunch of pictures up, like family pictures, and it was really classy for about a minute and a half. And then we put too many pictures up, and there's a line, and we were doing like different frames and different looks, and there's a line, and we passed it from like this is cool and neat and picture wall to this is just a cluttered wall, and it just
doesn't work.
I'll ask each of you how when you walk into a space, you know, whether it's a home or even a, you know, any type of space, and you see that wall or you see that room, how does it make you feel? Right, because it may be your things, but it can still make you feel overwhelmed, stressed, you know, that even if it's your items, you
it
know.
It goes to that energy question you were talking about. Does it give you energy? Does it take energy away? Yeah. And then, but also I've gone into places that people just love and it meets their energy. It doesn't meet my energy.
Right.
I find it cluttered and busy and intense and trip hazards or
and that's,
something.
That's just
and they're
as
just
valid
like,
too.
I love it here. Yes. And I was like, okay, like I don't say anything. I'm like, yay.
Right. And that is just as valid because what we consider comfortable, you know, if you ask a downsizer team member, they're going to say decluttered and organized and because that's just who we are. Mm-hmm. But someone like my husband, for example, can have the stacks of papers, no rhyme or reason. And I say, can you get the utility bill from, you know, blah, 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 you know, for March? And he'll go.
He knows exactly,
and he'll know exactly where it is because that's how his brain works.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
I've
so
seen that with folks.
It doesn't really matter what we think. It's we want to emulate how people live, but we have to shrink it or else it's not emulating, you know, because then it's just too much. So it's really we're trying to just look at that downsizing percentage. And so if you go from that 5,000 number to the 1,200, which is more realistic, you're looking at an 80% downsize. Mm-hmm. Now, that number is really hard to hear.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Do you just sing the Frozen song?
It's important for people to know, okay, that's my target. 80%, that's my target, right? And that's on average. That's not in every area.
That's a tough number.
Because some areas are 100%, right? My whole garage is not going with me.
It's not coming.
My whole shed, not coming. Mm-hmm. You know, my workshop, not coming. So those are, really thinking about those numbers is important.
So we have... As always, and I could just, I'm so trying not to tangent us more, and I'm failing miserably. So we have 5 minutes left, and I do, unless there's more there, but I know when you and I were emailing about it and really wanted to get to this issue about the complexity and the downsizing, the ultimate form after someone passes away, and the family does have to liquidate the estate. Mm-hmm. And so I know you wanted to dive into that. We'll definitely do the rabbit hole for the next show. I love we're already planning show four. But are there
things,
is 5 minutes enough to do? Like, what are there things that you wanted to share about that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we can.
We'll go into it.
Can expand on just estate liquidations. There's so much. But I think, you know, first and foremost, if a family member has not planned for this process, they have not done the downsizing themselves, which is most of the population, right? Very rarely do we see that people plan for it. But if most of the population does not plan for it, and it's like, okay, my daughter or son or others have to do this when I pass, you can imagine the overwhelm because it's really hard when it's your own stuff. Mm-hmm. Imagine it's someone else's item.
And someone who's passed away and I've had and dripping with emotionality.
So much. Mm. And you may not know the provenance on those items. You may not know the value. Mm-mm. You may not know the importance. It may not have anything to do with monetary value. Maybe it's just importance. Maybe it's historical value. So these are all things that we know an executor is typically facing when they kind of come into that situation and go, this is up to me. I need to handle this. I am the fiduciary. Mm-hmm. I have this fiduciary responsibility to the estate, to this individual who I may have loved, or maybe there's a more of an administrative mm-hmm. component to it in a relationship. But it's up to me to help with this. And so who do I go to who can have the expertise to sort the home into what is valuable, get the items to the family members that are the beneficiaries, and maybe do that in a very fair way, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes that gets a little mm-hmm. sticky. Mm-hmm. So helping to navigate that through, and then contacting all of the resource providers that need to be part of this process and managing it from beginning to end. Because what if that client had dementia? And mm-hmm. what if things mm-hmm. were hidden throughout that home? Mm-hmm. And can you bring someone in and trust that mm-hmm. company to go through
the everything? Diamond ring in a yes. pocket, in yes. a the sweater, in a closet yes. because right. they wanted to keep it hidden?
Yes, mm-hmm. or the cash taped right. under mm-hmm. the drawers, right? Mm-hmm. This has happened hundreds of times.
Really?
Throughout our projects, yes.
So, okay, good to know.
Yeah, so, you know. Back in the day, when women didn't have the ability to have bank accounts, mm-hmm. what do you think they did?
We
to hold on to money.
And in the coffee cans. And
right, put it in right. pockets. And
I'm going to tape it in mm-hmm. under my mattress mm-hmm. or underneath the drawer. Right?
Yeah, mattress, I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these are all things that happen every day. So it's relying upon an organization, a company that you do feel like you have the trust and confidence in, or helping someone to manage this, you know, if you want to do it, helping somebody to coach you through that process, either or, you know, can go. But it is a big task to take care of an estate on many, many levels, for sure.
And we hear about that. All right, so here's what's happening. On show number 4, which we will plan, we're going to do, we'll talk a little bit more about estates, and then we're going to have it be the rabbit hole show. So let's remind each other, things that put people into the rabbit hole, whether it's photographs or any other, you know, especially the two tie in together, especially because anything that has an extra layer of emotionality, mm-hmm. I would think,
yes.
Or family dynamics, I'm just going on. So, all right. So I cannot thank Elizabeth Hirsch from The Downsizers for coming back to the Aging Well Together show in our new studio. This is the first time you've seen our bougie Yay. Studio. Yay. And really, thank you. And real quick, how can people learn more about The Downsizers or the Consigners?
That's so funny. So we have www.thedownsizers.com, brand new website. It just got launched a couple weeks ago, and it has a tremendous amount of resources and information and case studies on there for people to look at. And you also get to read about our awesome team and what we do. And then if you are interested in either selling things at auction or purchasing things at auction.
Oh, don't tell me I'll purchase it. No.
You can go to theconsigners.com or even easier, your app store on your phone and download the app, The Consigners. It's a little typewriter, and we have auctions every 2 weeks with over 300 lots of all these wonderful things coming out of these lovely homes. So anything from a KitchenAid mixer to a fine piece of art to a Gucci handbag.
I want another KitchenAid mixer. I barely cook. But I'm like, my daughter's going to want this. This is how I got in a lot of trouble, because I used to go to estate sales and auctions and, okay, but I'll go look on.
Yeah, so if you're downsizing, don't do that. But there are a lot of people looking for these items to outfit their home and not buying. We say don't buy new, right? Buy them in a resale format.
Oh, that's the other thing we wanted to talk about. So we'll talk about that whole about not buying new and this, the market for yes. all these new things. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Elizabeth, thank you so much. Alicia, thank you so much. Connie, thank you so much for joining us. WCOM, thank you for housing us. Orange County Department on Aging, thank you for sponsoring us. And of course, listeners, thank you for listening to us. And you'll get a lot more soon, but take care and be well.